Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
Well, that is typically reserved for days in June, July, and August when we're at triple digits. That's kind of been the rule of the show. But this is an unusual day in St. Louis. And I don't know if we have, do we have an official high temperature, Sue, that you're aware of?
Oh, let me look that up.
We were in the upper 70s. And even more warm than that, our studios, we've had AC, HVAC conditions at Odyssey St. Louis for 2 weeks now. And I've been okay until today.
Yeah,
it's in the 80s. We have the door open. And but, man, I got to tell you, because I've been mentioning, I'm going deer hunting after the show. It's weird and not super comfortable to be out there. You'd think it's better when it's warm, but I'd rather have a little chill in the air. Now, Sunday morning's going to be 40, so that's not too bad.
Does it affect the deer, like their behavior?
It could. It can mean that they're not moving around as much. But you know what? Based on the deer that I see in my neighborhood, the boys are horny. That's what I'd say. No offense. This is the great thing about deer. They're just like humans and men. When they are horny, they do stupid stuff.
What?
They don't hide as well. They follow the ladies.
So they
track the does. So once that cycle begins, they do stuff that, you know, isn't okay. That's how they match up with human males, I think, perfectly.
Yeah.
We're going to do a broadcast a week from Monday at Helen Fitzgerald's. This is going to be so much fun. It is the Guns N' Hoses press conference and weigh-in. The event, of course, Guns N' Hoses, huge night, Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, but we're going to do the show live. The weigh-in time is officially 4 to 6. It's open to the public. You can meet the boxers. This is when the firefighters take on the police officers, and they take this stuff very seriously. The fighters are training for months and months and months. We'll have the 38th annual Guns N' Hoses event will take place that day, and all the details are at 971talk.com/events. And I bring that up because Greg Brown is going to join us here in just a little bit. He is the fire chief down in Eureka, and he's going to give us some of the details on what's going on with the event as we get a little closer. Sue, as you know, I brought this story up a couple of days ago, and it's just stunning every time I see something like this. I love the free press, as you know, at thefp.com, and Tanner Nah did an article a couple of days ago about the college kids who can't do basic math, and this is at the University of California, San Diego. More than 10% of students are taking math that covers what they should have learned in elementary school. My daughter is 10 years old. She's learning fractions and subtracting and adding fractions right now. Tanner is with us tonight on 97.1 FM Talk. Tanner Nah, how are you? Thanks for coming on in St. Louis. We appreciate it.
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Mark. Happy to be here.
How does something like this happen? Because when I saw the headline, I did read the story. It's just kind of stunning when you hear some of the ways that even college students, and I've heard, you know, we hear these stories about high school kids that get passed from grade to grade and maybe they graduate high school, but to have students at, I don't know about an elite, you know, university in the country, but not exactly a small one, part of the University of California system seems significant.
Absolutely. I mean, it was an incredible finding that was released during an internal report at UC San Diego. And like you mentioned, UC San Diego is a high caliber public university. It's considered the sixth best public university in the country, top 30 in terms of private and public. But it's just incredible that some of the upper echelon of our students in these elite institutions can't do not even high school math, but middle school and elementary school math.
Yeah, so what did you discover here in the reporting of what is, I guess, now somewhat transparent in a sad way about where these kids might be at this university and how it happened?
Yeah, so, to be fair to the UC San Diego students, it's not everyone, but starting in 2020, the administration at San Diego decided to create a remedial math course, one that would cover review concepts at the high school level. And so that started at 2020, and during that time, there was only 0.5% of the incoming class enrolled in that class. And fast forward to 2023, they expanded the class after it enrolled 7% of the incoming class to include elementary and middle school topics. And now in 2025, the new incoming class, it has 8.5% of the incoming class. So as the enrollment in this class gets bigger, the concepts go further and further back to elementary and middle school.
That is shocking. I mean, look, I admitted the other day that you start giving me some fractions to add and subtract. I'd have to see if I could do my best on that. I'm going to work with my daughter. But some of the examples that you offered in the piece, these were not tough questions. And some of these kids couldn't even put, you know, simple addition and subtraction together. And that's kind of what caught my attention. I think a lot of other people. This report was issued by UC San Diego, right? I mean, they investigated this and they're the ones putting out the numbers. Is that correct?
Yes. So this is an internal report done by the Senate Administration Work Group for the admissions office. And basically, it was just, I think, trying to warn the admissions office that, hey, the people that we're letting into this elite institution, some of them just can't keep up. And it's, and like we keep saying, they can't keep up with high school concepts, but it's things going much further back. So I think it was a warning shot to the admissions office to kind of let them know that it's some of these students coming out are not caliber. They're not the caliber for UC San Diego.
Well, but then, you know, I said they weren't necessarily an elite university. Let's talk about an elite university, Harvard. In your reporting, you said that they started doing something similar to review foundational skills in algebra, geometry, and quantitative reasoning. Now, that's a little bit more advanced, and it is Harvard, but still, you would expect that students in the past would have been up to speed if they're going to a university like that in those categories.
Yes, of course. Harvard last May or March kind of came under fire after this mathematics MA5 class came out that, like you said, was reviewing foundational skills in algebra and geometry. And even President Trump mentioned it last year about the caliber of foreign students coming in. And he said that some of these foreign students were in this remedial math class that couldn't do basic addition. I'm not sure how much validity that has, but it is pretty damning that at a place like Harvard, much less, you know, smaller state schools or, you know, having to create new classes and expend resources and professors to keep these students up to pace with math.
Well, so maybe it shouldn't be as shocking as it is when you look at the numbers here, because I've many times, and this is another one of those things, Tanner, that's a head shaker, and you've probably seen stories, maybe you've done some reporting on this, but it's not uncommon in a very sad way to see kids graduate from high school, get into maybe not the level of university like UC San Diego, but in advanced education where they can't read. Okay, so not doing math is one thing, but you have kids that are getting passed in high school from grade to grade and then graduating high school, and they cannot read.
Mm. Yeah, and this is a problem. I think around the country, you see school districts that tout these high graduation rates for these high schools, especially in low-income areas, which is great. But if the high schools can't graduate students that are proficient in basic skills of math, reading, and writing, they're not going to succeed even if they graduate from high school, especially when they want to go into higher institutions in college. It's just not going to work out.
Yeah, and some of this
can be much more difficult.
Some of this goes back, obviously, and I talk about these issues because I think they're important. And since I have a 10-year-old in particular, I have older kids, so I've seen, you know, maybe a little bit of an evolution with some of the education. But I was teaching the first 2 months of kindergarten with a daughter in my house because of the pandemic. And even in a really good school district here in St. Louis, we had a parent-teacher conference, and, you know, the teachers admit that the reading comprehension is behind for students, you know, that should be. Maybe they're not that far behind, but that's in a good district, right? So take a district that doesn't have resources or in urban areas, and those kids are even further behind.
Yes, the learning loss epidemic is just rearing its ugly head. You would think maybe 5 years away from, removed from the pandemic, we'll be starting to see the worst parts, but the experts I talked to said that this is just the beginning. You know, if you go back 5 years to 2020, the matriculating classes in these colleges this year, they were in eighth grade. They were just kind of at the end of the formative middle school years.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years down the road, you're going to have people that were in elementary and lower middle school. So it's only going to get worse, and it's only going to compound on itself, especially today with new tools like ChatGPT and AI that can, you know, if you don't want to read something, you just kind of throw it into that, and it'll help you with kind of skating by with reading comprehension. We have more tools to make it easier to get by, but then also we have learning loss for everybody across the board, good districts, bad districts, everybody.
And you know, and I hate to be, I'm always looking for solutions, but I don't see a lot of solutions. I mean, I think
what do you do?
Right. I don't know what you can do. I mean, these kids that are behind are behind, and you're going to hopefully not make more kids behind. I think that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, I think that some of the good news is, and in this report to the admissions office, they actually laid it out. In 2021, the UC Board of Regents, the statewide board that oversees all the UC schools, some of the best schools like UC Berkeley, UCLA, they actually had the admissions for all of the UC schools go test blind. So even these schools that push these kids out with graduation rates, they might have good grades, but if the admission staff can't evaluate them on an objective measure of the SAT and the ACT, you never know how competent, how proficient they are in basic skills. So one of the report's recommendations said, at least go back to test optional, so then students can submit test scores or test mandatory, where everybody has to take the SAT and ACT, so that there can be some objective measure of competency for these incoming students.
Yeah, California ditched that in 2021. They made it optional, right?
They made it test blind. So the admissions admissions office aren't even allowed to see them. There are a lot of schools that are test optional. So some students can submit, some can't. That's how my school was when I went to undergrad. But with these UC schools, they're test blind. So the admissions staff can't even look at those objective measures. And no matter how imperfect these standardized test scores are, they do, to a pretty high degree, do a good job of measuring you know, basic skills like reading and writing, science, and math.
Unbelievable. Tanner Knott, really good reporting at the Free Press. I'm a big fan of the FP. Thanks for jumping on here in St. Louis with us.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Appreciate it. The reporting is really good, and he goes in. Let me just read a little bit more from the piece that was in the Free Press the other day, because there's a group called the National Assessment of Educational Progress, NAEP, and that's the group that does like the nation's report card, right? And they showed record lows for proficiency in math and reading among 12th graders. So again, think about where these kids were when all this started with the pandemic. Just 22% of students were proficient in math, 35% in reading. This is nationwide, right? So going back to California, they kind of ditched the SAT and the ACT. And they admit at the University of California, the quality of the information that UC received from school transcripts became less reliable as a gauge of how well a student would succeed if admitted, right? So they said that reading and writing aptitude have also suffered. 18%, that's pretty significant, of students entering UC San Diego do not fulfill a statewide entry-level writing requirement. 18%, that's like one out of five, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
That can be satisfied with what we were talking about, the SAT or the ACT, or by getting a C-minus grade in a high school course. That's as low as you get. Deficiencies in both math and writing are increasingly common. And I guess last year's report found that 2 out of 5 students with severe deficiencies in math also required remedial writing instruction, which kind of makes sense if you think about it. Conversely, 1 in 4 students with inadequate writing skills also needed additional math preparation. And I might have not given enough credit to the University of California, San Diego. They are ranked 29th in the nation among all universities and 6th among public institutions. So it is
wow.
You don't hear about that one as much, but that's a big school. That's according to U.S. News and World Report. UC San Diego boasts 18 Nobel laureates, 16 former faculty members, and 2 alumni. And you have, if this is what they're discovering at UC San Diego, what would you have at Mizzou or
imagine?
Ole Miss or KU, right?
What do you do?
I'd like to know the answers to that. Oh, I forgot I put music in today.
Oh,
and I'm
boy,
glad. We're going to call it Bumper Music Friday because they took it all away from me. So I'm doing bumper music this hour. How do you like that? We have a great event coming up at Helen Fitzgerald's a week from Monday. We're going to share that with you next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
I was going to chat with one of my colleagues, but none of my colleagues are actually in the room right now before we get to our next guest. But Fred, you know what I noticed here is, you know, we how many radio stations we have in this building? I don't know,
six,
something like that. So they rotate when you are in Odyssey St. Louis at our building, which the temperature is like 90 degrees right now. There's speakers all over the building, including in the men's and the ladies' room. And I don't even know, does our station get rotated in the talk stations?
Does.
Okay, but... So now they have KZK on, and I noticed them in there, they have Christmas music on, right?
They just went Christmas music this morning.
Right. Why don't we do that? Because like it's always like a big thing for the ratings and everything. Why can't we just go Christmas music year-round? Wouldn't that work for us? If so many people demand the Christmas music, Fred, I've suggested this over the years. No one goes for it. Why can't we just go all Christmas all the time?
Because we have a service to our listeners.
Do we? You know what? I do have, we'll get into it next week. I do have some Christmas-related things to get into. My daughter is like way into Christmas right now, and we're not, you know, we're still 2 weeks. Well, I guess we're only about a week and a half from Thanksgiving.
Well,
right?
She was way into Halloween before it was here,
months
too.
Before.
Yes.
You are correct. Hey, Sue, we're going to do another live broadcast a week from Monday. This is going to be fun. The show doesn't get out as often as we would like. We do the Fish Fry broadcast. We did the 97.1 FM Talk birthday party at Lit Cigar Lounge. That was a blast a couple weekends ago, and weeks ago, rather. We're going to go to Helen Fitzgerald's, which is known as the Steelers Bar here in St. Louis, but it's also beyond
Love
that.
It.
The place is huge. They do live music there. We're going to do the Guns N' Hoses press conference and weigh-in, and that's going to be a lot of fun to do live. Of course, Guns N' Hoses is a legendary event here in St. Louis. Greg Brown is the fire chief of Eureka, and he's with us this afternoon with a bit of a preview. Chief, how are you? Thanks for jumping on here with us.
Well, and I know I shouldn't correct the host as soon as we get on, but I'm retired now.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Greg Brown, Eureka Fire Chief, retired. How about that?
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Sometimes the host is not very smart. But tell us about, this is pretty cool, and you know, I have had to admit that I've never actually been to Guns N' Hoses. And the reason is because my kids are in town, and you know, it's the night before Thanksgiving. But this is just a legendary event. I always like hearing how much these men and women get into this from a training perspective, because they take it very seriously, don't they?
Oh, absolutely they do. And you know, you can bring your whole family to the event. First of all, because it is going to be the most fun you ever had on the night before Thanksgiving, bar none. I'll guarantee you that. And, you know, the firefighters and the police officers, the men and women who come out and train, yes, they take it extremely seriously. At the very latest, they'll start in August. Some folks train almost all year round because they want to be in the show, and they're in the gym training basically daily. They're probably sparring a couple, three or four times a week, and, you know, just working themselves to become more proficient at what they're doing. So, you know, there's a lot of pride on the line there when, where, you know, the first responders, the firefighters and the police officers, we're all brothers and sisters in arms, but there is a little rivalry that goes on with that. So, you know, we like to poke fun at each other, but we're all there to serve our citizens and the community that goes on. So everybody trains extremely hard. You got people who come in who haven't done a lot before, maybe no boxing experience or mixed martial arts experience at all, and they get in and they start working and they keep going and going, and it's incredible to see somebody who comes in. And then we've got people who have trained for years and they come in, and it's just an exciting event. The everything that goes on around it, it's like you're watching a championship fight out of Las Vegas. You know, Steve Holly and Jesse Finney and the whole committee put on an event that is second to none, not just in St. Louis, but anywhere in the world. It's that good. You know, from everything from, you know, obviously the fights, but the opening ceremonies, the 10 count for the officers and firefighters that we've lost in the last year. It is truly an amazing night. And, you know, it's also kind of, and this is our 38th year, and it's become the unofficial start to the holiday season.
That's right. Yeah,
in
I think
St.
that's
Louis.
Fair. That's exactly right.
That's really cool.
So that, of course, the event itself is the night before Thanksgiving at Enterprise Center, but we're going to do on Monday, November 24th, live broadcast from 3 to 6. The event for the weigh-in is really starting at 4 o'clock. It's open to everyone. You can meet the boxers ahead. There's a 50-50 raffle that we're going to do that benefits the families of fallen and injured first responders. Food and drinks will be available. That's going to be a lot of fun. You can find out more at 971talk.com/events. Did you ever do this over the course of history? Did you ever fight, Greg?
Yes, I fought in 98 and 2000.
Nice. How'd you do? You can lie. No one will really know.
You know, they know. It's
yeah,
one
they know,
one.
Right.
I won one. I lost one. You know, some of the guys, the one of the guys I fought with, we're still good friends.
That's awesome.
We talk to each other on a regular basis. And, you know, I've been working, helping train guys and selling tickets and that kind of stuff ever since then. It's a wonderful group of people. It's really grown into a great committee that works real hard all year round so we can do this to support our backstoppers.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, we're looking forward to the broadcast for sure. Now, look, I fight with my wife three or four times a week. Doesn't that kind of put me in good position for training in the future on one of these events? We should do a media thing, Sue, don't you think?
Oh,
me and
no.
Mark Cox throw down
okay.
a couple of rounds.
Oh, dear.
Who'd you take in that one?
I
Did
don't
you take
want
me
to
or
talk
Cox?
About it. Are
Come
you
on,
kidding
place
me?
Your bets.
Uh-uh.
You
Not
take
doing
Cox?
It. Not doing
okay.
it.
Okay. I don't know.
If I was you, I'd challenge him right now, you know, after his... little mishap with his ribs. He's
that's
excellent
what I mean.
Idea.
It's not a fair fight.
I wasn't thinking about the rib injury, and I didn't know how public it was, but yes, Chief, that's an excellent idea. Look, I'm throwing the gauntlet down right now. Cox, next week, you and I, we'll do it at the weigh-in. I think it'll be fun. Greg, thank you so much for jumping on here with us.
Hi,
we'll see you next week.
Thanks for
right.
having us.
Take
you guys
care.
Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Well, I was at a screening a couple weeks ago of the movie Soul on Fire, which is based on John O'Leary's story, which is amazing. And my buddy Matt Myers was there, and he does a lot of work. He has worked with me over the years on a lot of the film stuff, especially when I was a critic. And he mentioned he's kind of moving on doing some independent stuff, and he knows I'm a big music fan. He said, oh, you got to know this guy Ryan Grayface and what he does with his independent record label, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary. I said, that sounds like fun to talk with someone like that. So Ryan Grayface is with us tonight on 97.1 FM Talk. Ryan, how are you?
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
I have to start here with a little bit of stuff that's not related to the record label, because when I was looking at your bio and everything, I noticed that you have a documentary on John Gacy that you put together. You have a fascination with Ed Gein as well. You're kind of a serial killer guy. By the way, I was also told you're doing this interview right now from a cemetery. So we have that going for us, right? What the hell is wrong with you, Ryan? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just a goth, even at 44 years old, apparently.
How did you get into the, I went down the Gacy rabbit hole here a couple of weeks ago with the new series that's on Peacock, and I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, not too far from where he was operating, quite honestly. So I've had that fascination with John Wayne Gacy for a long time. How did that happen with you?
So I actually moved to his neighborhood. Norwood Park is the name,
mm-hmm,
back
right.
in like, oh, I don't know, say 2002 or 2003 or something. And I mean, of course, I knew who John Gacy was,
right.
but and was generally interested in the case. But I would literally just happen upon person after person after person in the neighborhood who knew him or knew of him or had a direct story. My mother went to a party where he was clowning. My father got into his car but escaped. You know, these sorts of
yeah.
insane stories. I heard them every single day. So basically, the long and short of it is I started digging deeper into the case and found out that from all these firsthand accounts, there were a lot of inaccuracies from what I thought I knew about the case. We'll call it the Wikipedia version of
yeah,
the case.
Yeah.
And that started basically what's now a 20 plus year long, I would call it obsession. And I ended up befriending Gacy's younger sister, Karen, and her and I became oddly like best friends. And she gave, so when he was executed, she was the family member that picked up all of the stuff that he had accumulated for his 14 and a half years on death row. She gave that stuff all to me. And
wow.
I have two museums, one in Chicago, one in Savannah, Georgia, that display some of those personal artifacts. But it also, the collection also contained a book, a manuscript, that's his life story that was never published. And that effectively is the guide to my docuseries that I've been working on for about 12 years, where he just talks at length about, we'll just try to make this very radio friendly, but
yeah.
people who we don't know are named that he was involved with. And it's just a way more insane case.
Yeah. He was twisted, dude. I was at an event where he was clowning when I was a kid that my dad bartended at Maryville Academy. So, and he was arrested like a mile and a half. I lived in Niles, and he was arrested like a mile and a half from where I lived. And it's just crazy. So I have that, I don't know about an obsession, but certainly, you know, a lot of fascination with that case. Well, let's talk about Gray Face Records, Ryan, and what you're doing here and what you've done, because this is, it's unique. It's an indie record label, but you also do the vinyl pressing, which is rather unusual when it comes to what we do in modern day, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that I knew I was destined for at a very young age, and basically I've saved my whole life to open my own vinyl pressing plant. So I own two manual presses, and everything that you purchase from graveface.com or really, quite frankly, any other record store that's carrying my stuff is something that we pressed in-house at this point. And it's just been a lifelong dream that I honestly can't believe I get to do every day of my life. It's an honor. It's weird because all my other things, because I own, I don't know, say 14 businesses. I do a lot of different type of stuff, and most everything are like playing the long game, you know, where the rewards, I'm not talking about financially, but just like emotionally,
mm-hmm,
are 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Pressing a record is such a instantaneous bit of gratification, because you can put it on, and if it sounds good, you know the customer's gonna be happy. And if it looks cool, even if it's a record, because a lot of people buy cool colored vinyl to,
of course,
not even necessarily listen to, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, we're approaching it from multiple perspectives, audiophiles and sort of collectors alike. So it's just been really, I don't know, it's really fun. And
yeah, you know, it's amazing.
I don't see myself ever burning out.
It's amazing to someone like me. You know, I started buying records when I was probably 11 years old, 12 years old in 1975, 76. And then I did some work in the music business. I was in music radio as well. I have 3,000 plus records, like older records, in my studio. at home. And then, you know, this resurgence, I don't know if it was 10 years ago or 12 years ago, but people and my kids now have turntables and they buy new vinyl, which kind of blew me away. And I was so encouraged. Now, I'm not a, you know, an analog snob. I think digital music actually sounds pretty good and clean, but I appreciate the warmth of the analog and I love vinyl. And you've kind of tapped into something that's had a resurgence in the last decade.
Yeah, which from the simple financial perspective was I own a company called Terrorvision, which puts out horror soundtracks and horror movies, and then obviously Graveface, which does like indie stuff, shoegaze, psych, just indie rock in general. And we also put out films on Graveface, more indie art house cinema. But yeah, I was just doing the math of how much money I was spending every year manufacturing, I don't know, say 40 records a year times several thousand units per record. And I was like, oh, wait, I could just save that money up over a many year period of time and just buy my own presses.
So, yeah.
You know, I highly encourage any long run independent labels, which I guess is kind of a fluke in and of itself, because a lot of labels just get absorbed by bigger companies. But there's not a ton of indie, like truly independent labels where it's owned by one dude or female dude that are not, you know, controlled by the majors or a very large quote unquote indie.
Sure.
And that's a weird thing that I think the general public isn't even sort of hip to, oddly enough.
That's kind of in the weeds a little bit, right? Yeah. Ryan Grayface is here. He's talking about Grayface Records celebrating 25th anniversary this year. So is there an easy way? I feel very naive here as someone just told you about how I had all this experience in the music business, all these records and music radio. How the hell do you press a piece of vinyl and get music onto it? Can you simplify that explanation?
Well, so the world of manufacturing is interesting in that most pressing plants are literally just that. They're taking a pre-existing piece of metal, the stamper, that has the grooves built into it, and all they're doing is pressing your record. And that's what we're doing too. So there's two steps prior, which is a lacquer phase and a stamper phase. The lacquers, like when you get out of the recording studio and you have two wave files, side A and side B, mm-hmm. right? If it's a single LP, you would send that to your lacquering company. I use this guy, Stan Getz, out of Texas, who I've worked with for 20-some years. He's awesome. He used to have his own pressing plant, so he understands sort of how things need to sound. And he'll actually cut the lacquers for you. And then he sends them off to this company called Simcon in North Carolina, who is basically just making a metal version of a permanent metal version that attaches to our specific machines, because each machine basically takes a different type of metal to connect to it. Because probably like, I don't know, not many, 10-ish machines out in the market that you can buy. So you have to have a company that can turn what Stan did into something that we can actually press. So that's the two companies that are involved. And then they send us the stampers, and literally all we're doing is pressing. There's really no, on our end, it could not be simpler. And I'm in this band called the Marshmallow Ghosts, which is just like Halloween, adult Halloween music, I'll call it.
Yeah.
It's kind of cute, but not too cute. So Marshmallow Ghosts, I did this experiment this year where I was like, if I could record the new Marshmallow Ghost record on October 1st and get it into customers' hands by October 31st, that would be a pretty radical concept. So that's what I did. I didn't hit record until the 1st. I had it mixed on the 2nd. My wife did the artwork on the 3rd. And sure enough, by Halloween, customers had their copies. And that is, for those listening, that is unheard of. Like, usually making a record takes years.
Years.
So I did it crazy. In a 31-day period of time because it's a Halloween record, and I just wanted to see, now that I have this whole system with the pressing plant, if I could do it like that. And obviously, you don't want to do that all the time, because you have to call in favors, the packaging people, you have to put a brush on the shipment, blah, blah, blah. So it does add up. But it was really cool to know that in a pinch, you could, from the actual playing of the instrument recorded to tape make a record in 31 days and have it in people's hands. So it was pretty neat.
That's efficient. That's very efficient. No doubt about it. All right. Grayface Records. How do you find them online? How do you find you guys online? Is it grayface.com or you got more to it?
Yeah. So at grayface.com. And then if you're interested in the more morbid side of my life, i.e. the true crime stuff, that's grayfacemuseum.com. Because we, like I said, we have two physical, I have five total stores. Most are record stores or horror shops, but then I have three museums, one horror museum and two oddities, true crime museums.
That's amazing. You got a lot of stuff going on, Ryan. I appreciate coming on here on 97.1 FM Talking St. Louis. Thank you so much.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
Well, wrapping things up here for a Friday edition. We're all back on Monday, and there's kind of a breaking story that I wanted to hit today a little bit with audio cut of the day, because the local paper, STL Today, just posted something of interest. We'll get to that here.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
I already had something planned, but we're going to use some of this here because, Sue, you noticed this, so all credit to Sue Thomas. The folks at STL Today put out a story, and City Museum is actually turning to social media itself because five dudes burglarized City Museum earlier this week, and they posted this video, and I'm going to play some of it here. They narrated it, showing these guys on their own personal guided tour. They stopped at the gift shop. Here's what the audio sounds like, and they're trying to find out who these guys are.
Earlier this week, a group of young men let themselves into the museum on their own personal guided tour. They also made a stop at the gift shop and went home with some new City Museum apparel. Super generous of us, right? Unfortunately, they didn't leave any payment information and decided against leaving a tip.
Uh-oh.
Tragic. Police were called to join the party, but the boys stood them up and they were gone by the time they arrived. Now, why would they flake like that? So, if any of these faces look familiar and you're not sure where they were on Monday, November 10th at 11:47 p.m., we'd love to chat. Please contact the museum at info@citymuseum.org. We appreciate your help, St. Louis.
That is a very unique way to say, yeah, it was certainly grabbed our attention. And, you know, the way I love the fact, my favorite part of the story has to be that all these guys basically got was sweatpants.
Yes.
And by the way, that's what they were wearing. So maybe that's what they were interested in. And this was a mix. There was white and black dudes in this group. They all kind of cover their face a little bit. But it's hard for me to believe that somebody, if you take a close look at this, would recognize one of these guys.
I think you could, just based on their hoodies. I mean, some of them had stuff on them. Graphics.
John Fetterman might have been one of them, you know, if we're really being serious here. And then I have to get to this as well, because I talk about... and we refer to Trump derangement syndrome all the time, and it's real, and it's really bad in some cases. And in most of the specific examples I can give you, we see it at the national level, but man, I see some of this even locally where people lose their minds. Just open up Facebook and you'll see. So do you know who Samantha Bee is, Sue?
From whatever show.
Yeah, I don't even know what she's best known for, but she is a comedian, producer. Yeah. She had a show called The Samantha Bee Show, and she's also married to somebody. Oh, she was on The Daily Show. She's known.
That's it.
She's married to Jason Jones, who's a pretty good actor, but Samantha Bee is way out there on the TDS front. So listen to think about this. What if someone on the right said something like this about civility?
I think that civility feels quite worthless in those. So sometimes you do just need to stand up and scream. I think civility is pretty overrated. I certainly am not in any way advocating that we edge toward political violence.
Really? Because that's what it sounded like. This is a guy named Jonathan Alpert. He was on Fox today. He's a therapist.
So similar to other obsessive disorders, it's important to help them separate fact from fiction. So one of the big tasks that I have is to try to educate these patients and dispel a lot of their beliefs. Trump is not a Nazi. He's not rounding up the gays and shipping them off to some faraway land. So a lot of my time as a therapist is spent trying to correct these people's beliefs.
I mean, these are people that really believe this stuff. And I've seen so many bad cases of it. You know, I think it all kind of started as a joke a bit, you know, Trump derangement syndrome. But there are people that are absolutely grabbed by this thing. And I don't know how they can have a healthy life because they're so obsessed with everything that Trump does.
Yeah, it's not good.
Sue, have a great weekend.
You too. Happy hunting.
Yeah, thank you. Be safe out there, fellow hunters.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.